RDT Systems, baby. Dog tested and dog tough. We've got those soft mouth dummies. Now listen, everybody knows that we need more bumpers. I'm not talking about one or two or three. I'm talking about adding bumpers to your repertoire. I like using white or black and white bumpers when I'm training my dogs for marks and even blinds. You can get the orange ones. I dig it, but add a bunch to your repertoire. And I'm not talking about 3 to 6. If you're working on T-pattern, if you're working on blinds and pattern blinds, you need a bunch, a dozen, 18. The Soft Mouth Dummies by DT can't be beat. Check them out, LoneDuckOutfitters.com. DT Difference. Let's go. Hashtag man's best kennel, baby. That's Gunner Kennels. Man, let's talk about these crates, because when it hits the fan, you want your dog protected. It's an investment emotionally and financially to keep your hunting buddy safe. If you'd like to get into a Gunner Kennel, slide into the DMs and we'll hook you up. But do your best friend a favor and keep them safe this duck season. Force fetch, what is it? It's super intimidating to so many people, yet it's not that difficult. I built a step-by-step process that helps you understand it. You and your dog can be successful in it, and it takes the intimidation away of the process so that you and your dog can get to your goals. That's what it's built for. Let me teach you how I do it so that you and your dog can do it. Different breeds, different personalities, problem solving, and more. Check it out. Links in the description. The Force Fetch course. Baby. This is a story about a man and a deer. The story of Old Nubby, plus a few other fun things going on here at the Lone D. But if you wanted to hear, and maybe you saw, hold on, excuse me. If you wanted to hear something about a deer, let's be clear.
Just grab yourself a beer. You hear?
Nailed it. There we go. The story about Old Nubby coming up. Really excited to share it with you. But stay tuned. First off, we got to do that. Patreon.com/LoneDuckOutfitters. We just launched our Force Fetch course, our series. Bunch of different dogs, bunch of different breeds, bunch of different personalities. Nuts to butts, Force Fetch. Anything you can think of. And it's on right now. It's on Patreon. And anyone that's on Patreon is getting like an exclusive look at it, a discount towards it. And what I'm enjoying is getting the, what do you want to call it, Kevin? The reviews, the
feedback, maybe.
Yeah, thank you. The feedback.
What do you think's?
Yep. What do you think? So a lot of good feedback thus far. Couple things that I think is good criticism that we can add to it as it goes, which if you join now and we can get that feedback done on the next batch of Force Fetch dogs that I get, like you'll get updated on when that happens. But long story short, good feedback. So if you want to be in on that kind of thing, patreon.com/LoneDuckOutfitters. It's like buying me and Kevin a beer. So if you enjoy this podcast, if you enjoy the Instagram, if you enjoy the YouTube, you want to support the show and you want discounts on all the good stuff that we do, that's where you can support us. Next up, Paparina. I don't like that one.
No, we'll keep
from the duck blind to the holding blind. It's Purina, baby. The food that fuels the truck, a lone duck. Next up, man's best kennel as Gunner Kennels. Now, Christmas is upon us, which boggles my mind that we're almost at like the quote-unquote, we've been all talking about Black Friday. We got like our social media folks that are helping us out, and they're talking about Black Friday. I'm like, are you... S-I-H-I-T-T me that it's almost Black Friday, bud. Like, that's the freaking year's almost over. Duck season's almost over.
No, there's still more time.
Yeah, but it flies by. But anyways, if you're thinking of getting something for your hubby or your wifey or for vice versa, or maybe you want one and you're like, hey, hubby, wifey, can you get me one of these? Hit us up. We'll get you into a gunner kennel. Any of the gear that we actually supply, just hit us up.
We can help.
We'll help. So Man's Best Kennel, Man's Best Kennel, Gunner Kennel. Next up, Dogtra. Collar, it's in my back pocket, in my hand, on the dog's neck, 24/7. Dogtra, great customer service, great product. I would say 90% of you are looking at that 1900S, or for the bark collar, that YS600. And the Edge RT should be back in stock starting in 2023. Next up, Kevin, do you smell that? I feel like I haven't done that in a while. Felt good to get it back, baby. Let a couple bismuth eat with some clients and friends of mine out near Saratoga, New York.
Oh, we haven't even talked about that.
Yeah, we can dabble it on the old nubby episode. And had fun. They ate. It was slim pickings, but they ate. Next up, smoke 'em if you got 'em. Kevin and his wife Rachel brought over dinner tonight, and we put a little chicken on the old Traeger grill. Smoked that meat. It was delightful. We did a chicken Alfredo with broccoli type of deal, and smoked the meats, and it was good. Very good. Been putting a little bit of old nubby on there, too, if you know what I'm saying. Next up, Standing Stone Kennels. StandingStoneSupply.com. Another kind of Christmassy idea, thought process is if you're looking for ideas for yourself or your significant other, head over to StandingStoneSupply.com and get pretty much anything you can think of to train your dog. Tell them we sent you. Lastly, Waypoint Outdoor Collective. They keep us in tune with you and you in tune with us. All right, Kevin, let's get in the show, bud. And sidebar to my successful nubby hunt. Well, Kev laid one down tonight, a little doski do. Doski do.
Doski do.
Don't mind if you do or do. Gotcha.
Yeah. Meat in the freezer, baby.
Meat in the freezer.
Meat in the freezer.
And fun hunt. Kevin and I got to sit in a blind on the property tonight. Just me and him.
It was great.
At the end of a work day, and just enjoyed each other's company and wait. And this is not the stand that I got nubby in. We'll talk about that next. But this is a stand that religiously I see a group of deer come out and feed into the field at the end of the night. And so it's a big, like, pre-built, before I bought the property, deer stand that you can fit two people real comfortably in. And so instead of like going sitting somewhere else, you know, just to go and hang out and like quietly BS together, that's what we decided to do.
I don't think I had super high expectations going into it. It was more like, I worked hard today, got some good stuff done.
Yeah,
and good planning, shoot. And then it was like, well, see what happens.
Yeah, and you want to walk people through how it went down?
Yeah, we can. So, don't mind if I do.
Don't mind if I do, skis.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of kicking back and talking about how definitely nothing was going to come out of the woods.
And we definitely did. This was like an hour till the end of the hunt. So usually it's like the last 15 minutes you'll see him feed into the field.
Yeah, yeah.
And lo and behold, my eagle eye.
Eagle eye Uncle Bob gives me a nudge and goes, is that a stick or a deer? Like, you know. I
didn't say that.
You 100% said that. Said, so I pulled out the old binos.
I have eagle eyes. I said, I think that's a deer, not a stick. And then
a little flick of a tail.
A little flick of a tail. I was like, oh, son of a bee.
It's a deer ski.
We're in business. And she moseyed on out to, came out of the woods at about, 50, 60 yards and moseyed over to like a little, I don't know.
Within 30.
Yeah.
And we're in rifle zone. And in where I live right now, it's rifle season. So we don't have to, we didn't have to wait for her to get any closer, really. As soon as she crested the goldenrod, that's my land and that's our shot.
Right.
But we kind of wavered, like, do we shoot a doe? Do we see if a buck's following? What do we do?
So kind of waited a little bit. And we had plenty of time, as you mentioned. It was like an hour and maybe 15 or so until sunset. So we're like, all right, well, we'll just, why don't we wait it out? See what happens. See what she does. And moseyed around. Had no idea we were there. Probably watched for 10 minutes, maybe. I don't know.
Probably 10 minutes, which is cool. It's just enjoyable to watch the deer feed and did you notice she was like itching herself?
Yeah.
Just need to watch him be a deer.
Just different. And with that amount of time,
nothing
followed. It was like, all right, she at that point was maybe 45 yards. Nothing was following her out into the field. I'm like, okay. And I have a doe tag.
He whispered
meat
to
in freezer.
I'm gonna take the shot. I'm like, hell yeah. So you all hear me talk about Marco Polo on here once in a while with our friends Blaine and Oliver. And we actually have a running hunting season contest. So anything ranging from like a bear, which what are the likelihoods that any of us get a bear, all the way down to a squirrel has like a, and this is like a common theme with fire departments and community gatherings of like hunting competitions. So you put a little money in and money goes back. Well, no money's going back for us guys, but it's like winner take all. Right now, Blaine's in the lead. He is a squirrel killing.
Oh, he's all over it.
He's got a couple wascally wabbits.
True.
Two deer.
Yeah, he got a doe and he got a nice buck.
Yeah, he got a real nice buck.
Yeah, he did.
And maybe a crow? I think he got a crow, too. Anyways, long story short, Blaine is
all over
racking. He is racking points up. I got a couple rabbits. I got a squirrel. Kevin's got a squirrel.
Nub.
And I got old Nubby. Oliver's got a nice buck.
Oof.
Oliver's got a real nice buck, a couple squirrels. So, like, between me, Oliver, and Kevin, I think I'm in second place.
Yes. I'm in last. Oliver dropped a nice buck.
But you might be
with this one,
you might be in, because that's the other kicker. If you get it, if the hunt is filmed, if you can like hold your gun and film on Marco Polo,
if you can like FaceTime it while everybody's watching and be able to
still come up with it, the shot. So Blaine's got a squirrel kill on Marco Polo. Oliver's got a squirrel kill on Marco Polo.
It's great.
But nobody's gotten a deer one. Blaine got a deer one on a few years ago.
Oh, really?
Where he propped it up in the blind and like put his phone on, propped up and got a doe. So Kevin had his phenomenal cameraman, me, filming on Marco Polo live with Oliver
with commentary
and Blaine watching.
Yep. It was like I don't want to say a little team effort.
Yeah.
But there was a cheering squad.
Definitely cheering squad.
It was great.
With the whole action going down. And the best part is like, you know, let's be honest with everybody. Like we didn't grow up deer hunters.
Oh no. I've only been doing it for a few seasons.
For probably, I bet 90% of people listening are like, nice job. You got a doe.
Cool, man.
This is like cool. This is like level 9 for us out of 10. Like we like to duck hunt, grouse and woodcock hunt. Deer hunting is like a newer thing to us and something that we're learning about and perfecting and having fun doing.
Plus with your new property, it's like all sorts of learning. Is a good
learning
way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. Reading the sign, finding scrapes, you know, figuring out where they're coming and going and da, 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 da. So, you know, for us, it's like kind of a big deal that, shoot, we did it right. You know, there's a freaking
I don't
doe.
Know how. I don't know how, but
There's
it was
a
there.
dough.
It was alive and it was there and it was moseying.
And it's still sort of the rut. So like half of us were thinking, let it ride. We got a lot of time. The second half is like, shoot it. And well, then we got time for that buck to trail
right.
it.
So the doe started moving away and moving away. It was probably 45 yards, but
it was
another
going
15 yards and it would have been off Bob's property
and into the goldenrod again, out of sight.
Right. So it's like, okay, if you're going to do, you got a doe. And she turned broadside.
He let her eat.
Let me eat. It was quick and easy, which is great.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
again, then we
shot,
had
bud.
Another hour and
hour.
About
an hour,
whatever left of hunting. So we're sitting there. We're like, woohoo, it's great.
Which nice. Is another highlight of the hunt, really, too, because on the far side of my field, a three pack came out. And then another three pack came out.
And at this point, at this point it was getting darker. So we're sitting there with the binoculars being like, okay.
You're just watching them.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, just watching.
Probably
them.
What do we say?
225-ish, yeah. 230. Just watching. And they're playing and roughhousing.
Frolicking. It was pretty cool to watch.
Yep. And then another one came out. So I think the seventh one, we could not see antler. But he came out after them and it's like, could that be a spike? And we couldn't see, but you're just watching this deer. I wouldn't really say chase him around, but like it didn't have doe behavior.
It was
compared to the other
excited.
Does. Yeah, it was a little more excitable, which is cool, but we couldn't tell. And for my comfort zone,
that far,
and really probably yours too, like beyond 200 is not what we want to do.
Well, not, and I mean, it was getting darker.
Sure.
So it's like,
And they're legit frolicking. So like the one you think is the, if it were a buck and we were certain it was a buck, as they're like intermixing and playing, you're like, ah, where did he go?
Well, Bob like, kept, he was looking through the scope and he's like, yeah, the one on the left, is that one? I'm like, well, what do you mean one? They're all moving.
Which one's on the left one? Well, we're just having fun.
The brown
like,
one.
Yeah, we're just having fun looking at them. And then cool. Sure as shits, another one comes out from our left. At like 70 yards, and you're like, they were everywhere tonight, and
which
we're getting
is,
a cold front.
Yeah,
but that's the most deer I've seen on my property during a deer hunt, hands down.
Same, and it was cool that we got to one, take one home,
and do
and
it
two,
together.
And it was fun to sit and kind of BS with you, because otherwise, well, I don't know. Deer hunting is usually you sit down by yourself, and then you go back to the truck and.
Yeah,
hang out and tell the story, whatever. But this was like we got to almost duck hunt together, if
yeah.
you will, to be like, you see that one over there?
Yeah, we weren't going to shoot anymore. It was.
I had a buck tag.
Great point. Yeah, you have a buck tag. So if a buck walked out, it could have been a thing. But it wasn't in our mind frame, really, that we were going to do anything. So you're just enjoying watching, looking through the scope, looking through the binos. Watching them play and watching them screw off
and be like,
and
how many of those are going to grow nice and tasty next year?
Yeah. So
it was cool.
Really fun hunt and proud and pumped for Kevin to have some meat in the freezer.
Yeah.
I'm
going to do summer sausage.
Fill a tag. Yeah. I love a summer sausage, man. Dude, that's one of my favorite. Like,
I like it because it's fun to just, it's a good bring to someone's house sort of thing.
Yeah. Tasty treat, man.
Yeah.
All right, now the story, old Nubs.
But I also want to hear about your duck hunt.
Let's talk about Nubby first, because we're on the deer topic.
Nubbin.
Nubby Nubs. So the stand that Kevin and I sat in religiously has a group of does come out, which he ended up bagging one of them, I would imagine. It's the same one. And I kind of made a pact to myself.
You know how many are left?
One less.
Dose.
Dose. Nice. Yay. Baby.
But anyways.
Nice job, bud. Good joke. So this three pack comes out. So the stand that Kevin and I sat in tonight, I'm going to try and paint you a picture. If my backfield is a rectangle, this and you enter the field through like a two-track road, a dirt road. And if you go straight, that's like a tree line straight. If you look to the left, it's like 250 to 300 yards to the left, 400 something yards long. So the field that we, or the stand that we sat in tonight, was in the back right corner. And that's where that three pack of doe come out. The back left corner is butted up against two different properties. One has bedding area and good cover, and the other is a blueberry farm slash swampy area. And the deer typically will funnel from those properties into my field via that back left corner as well. And I've seen a few buck deers over there. I figured my best shot at a buck was going to be in that corner. So I sit in it. Wind is right, life is good. And out from the back right corner come the three doe. I'm like, sweet. They're there again. Like, I'm patterning these deer. I'm starting to figure them out, that family group out. And
Right.
it's just cool. Again, it's just cool to see them. So I got the binos on them, just watching them do their deer thing. And they meander all the way to me. And they get behind me and they wind me. And they don't haul butt, but they lope off. They don't see me. They just kind of smell something off and they mosey off back across the field. So I'm like, oh, good experience, right? I'd never seen them cross the entire field. I figured usually they just like meander around that corner and then go back into the goldenrod or just whatever, do deer stuff.
Deering around.
Just deering around. So they wind me, lope off. Probably 20. And now I don't pay too much attention to the field when I'm sitting in the stand. Usually I'm waiting for them to come from the other properties to cut this corner through a specific trail and enter my field. And so, like, my main focus is there, but every once in a while, I look behind me and just scan the field and just see what's up. And where they loped off, I see a doe. This is in my head. I see the doe back out in the field. I'm like, huh. Didn't take her long to get comfortable again. So I just gingerly put the binos up and just watching deer be deer. And I'm like, oh, dang. There's some antler on that one, bud.
Headgear.
That's got some headgear on them. And it's definitely a bigger body antler. Like, not like bigger body, and I can see some antler. I can't tell you that it's an 8 point, a 10 point, a 12 point, a 14 point of fork. I just can see as it lifts his head and lowers his head to eat that there's bone attached.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Right.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
I don't know
You're
what
like,
it
great,
is.
legal buck.
Legal buck. It's a buck. So now I'm like, he's 275, 300 yards away. My comfort zone is 150. That's just what it is right now in my shooting skill set as a deer hunter, as a duck hunter. I know what I'm,
Also 150.
I know what I'm comfortable with and what I
Right.
can do and, whatever. So I've got this comfort zone and it's 150. At 200 when I'm shooting, it's not bad at all, but I just, comfort zone 115 in. That's it,
Right.
everyone. So I keep watching my zones of the trail because I still believe that's where I will have my shot, but I keep looking over at the deer moving towards me. And he's following the trail that those does were on towards me. But he's not sniffing and hauling butt towards me. It's like he's grazing and looking around and grazing, and then he moved 3 feet.
He's taking his time.
And then 5 feet, and then 3 feet, and then 10 feet. And all of a sudden, there's a hay bale at 163 from that stand. And he's at the hay bale. I'm like, we're 13 yards away from my comfort zone. And in my head, just being honest with you, in my head, I'm going, I still don't feel super comfortable.
Yeah, that's the edge of the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's coming.
But he isn't showing signs of turntail and
yeah, he's got no clue I'm there. But it's a wicked, it's almost 180 degrees behind me.
To your right.
To my right.
Which if you driving in your car and you sit and think how you hold a rifle, you try and shoulder it and turn all the way to your right. Weird.
Yeah.
So turn all the way to your left, you can do it. So it's not that easy of a shot. Plus being kind of on the outskirts of your.
Yeah. So he keeps coming. And while he's out at that distance, I basically kind of figure out how to maneuver in my tree stand. So I put my knees where my feet go. I put the gun, like if you're sitting in a chair with a footstool, I put my knees where your feet go. I rest the gun on the back rest, like where you would lean your back against.
Yeah, I didn't know you did this.
Yep. And then I can put the barrel against the tree. So I got a great rest. I got it on the back and then the tree, right?
Oh, smart.
So I got a killer rest. And old Nubby keeps coming straight at me. And I'm waiting for him to turn broadside. Or broadside-ish, really. I'm waiting, and he keeps coming. So I'm like, okay, now we're into my comfort zone.
Right.
And I got about 7 minutes of shooting light left. Mind you, I have a patreon.com/loneduckoutfitters happy hour Zoom meeting.
Oh, that's right.
At like 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in the back of my head, I'm like, I got to deal with that tonight.
Well, like if you, yeah, okay.
It's just in the back of my head. I'm not saying I'm not going to shoot this deer, like 100% shooting this deer. I'm just thinking like, all right, if I got
stuff to do, you got plenty.
I got stuff to do. So he turns broadside-ish. Wasn't a complete broadside, but it was like quartering to me, mostly broadside. I put it on his, shoulder, squeeze the trigger. Click. And so I go, I like slowly lift the bolt, which all this makes noise. And it was a quiet night. And so I look at the bolt, I open
which
the bolt.
Which normally would just be very quiet. Like,
yeah. His head raises up. I'm like,
right. What? Normally it's quiet, but in this exact moment, it's like,
no, 100% he heard me.
Yeah.
I mean, he lifted his head up. He's looking around. He didn't like freak out, but he heard something.
Looked up and was like, is that 270? You got a savage up there?
Well, you didn't put one in the chamber, bud.
What an idiot.
Yeah. So I'm like, what an idiot I am. So I chamber around, put it back down on him, and he goes back to grazing. And again, he kind of turns a little bit more broadside again. And I put it right there. And it's dusky. So in New York, you can shoot a half hour after sunset. And so it's dusk. And I see muzzle flash. And I see him hunch and haul butt towards the goldenrod. And
which, again, is not your property.
Not my property.
Right.
Goldenrod, tail down. But I saw him like hunch and then explode full pace in the goldenrod. And once they get in the goldenrod, it's not like short grass where you can see him still. He's disappeared.
It's probably chest high. I mean, it's.
Yeah, chest to head high.
Yeah,
I mean, thick. Me and you were looking the next day, so couldn't necessarily see you all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, I missed him. No, actually, in my heart, I thought I hit him. Right then and there, I thought I hit him. So I get on Marco Polo, clearly, first thing you do. And I'm like, Blaine Oliver, I got him. I got a buck. This is what happened. They're like, you got him. You know, all telltale signs. He hunched.
And these guys know how to.
Yeah, these guys are deer killers. So tail down, hunched. He's dead. You know, go down, look for your blood, look for your hair, and track him up, bud. Congrats. I walked to where I thought I shot him. And now by the time I get down, now it's dark. And so I got a POS headlamp and a POS iPhone lamp trying to find this blood where I thought I shot him. And I got nothing. Nothing. And like this sinking feeling of I missed him. Because I've been known to miss a deer. When I first hunted, I think I've missed 3 deer in my life. I think. I don't know. I hit a tree one time at Salamone's property that I'll never live down.
Nope. Never, never, never.
That sucker, I could have threw a golf ball and killed him with it. And so I get this buck fever, right? And I've been known to miss. And so in my head, I'm thinking negative thoughts, like super negative, self-loathing, disappointment in you, Bob. You missed him. I mean, I've shot this gun more than ever before. I've really practiced. I've done a lot of things to hone my skill set, and I still missed. No blood, no hair. So I get on the Marco Polo, disheartened, and Blaine's like, walk to the goldenrod. They're going to try and pick a trail that they know, most likely. And you'll find blood like from the sides of him on the goldenrod, which listen, I know that part.
Some of it is just, you got to sit and think. It's not rocket science. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
What makes the most sense?
Yeah. So now I go
in the moment. You're like, oh my God, what's going
on? I found 3 deer trails in that region that he went in. No blood, no hair. So now I'm thinking, okay, go get better light. So I lightly jog all the way to the house, lightly jog all the way back, which is kind of far. So I'm dying.
Third of a mile?
I don't know.
Far. Whatever. Far.
I'm lightly dying now.
Lightly jogging, mostly dying.
Mostly dying. And I get the better light and I got no blood, no hair. And now I got like 25 minutes to be on this Zoom call with all our Patreon people. So I'm thinking, okay, I missed him. Super disappointed in myself, super self-loathing, super questioning everything about my well-being and life and skill set
right.
As a hunter. How terrible of a hunter can you be, Bob? Go do our Zoom meeting, and I decide at that point, I can't just trounce around on someone else's property. So, and now it's late and I'm not going to text them late. I don't even really know them, truthfully. I just have their number. So
the last time you were looking for a deer.
For the last time I was looking for a deer, right? So the next morning, first light, I go out there and I parked the 4-wheeler where I thought I shot him, got back in the stand. Shot it was 135, but then as I'm looking at things, I'm like, he was a little bit closer and a little bit more to the left. Now Kevin shows up to come hang out and do some work and whatnot, and I'm like, all right, Kevin, you stand here and just look around. And he's like, I found where he kicked, like he kicked up the dirt.
Yeah,
right?
You were looking in a different spot, and there was still no blood.
No, but still no blood. Still no hair.
Right. But it
never found blood, never found hair.
Right. But where I found, this looks weird. It was like, not a wrestling match took place, but it was like, well, something happened here. Like,
yeah, but I mean, if I got shot at, I'd kick up some dirt too, son.
Oh yeah. It looked like something got shot at from right there.
Yeah. So he hauled ass
exactly.
And kicked up this dirt, and it's like, I know, okay, this is our starting point now.
Right.
Still no blood, still no hair anywhere. Now I know, again, I know the general vicinity where he went in, and it still was the three deer trails that I had tried the night before.
Right.
So now we're going to take, again, in my heart, tell everyone, what did I think?
He missed.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you were expecting me to say.
That I missed.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, we just, you know, I got permission. Well,
so when I showed up, Bob was very disheartened, and he was like, oh man, like we can just get to work. I thought I'd just take a few minutes and look, but I don't know. I just stink.
And dude, I was like, I'm here.
Why don't we take 10 minutes and I'll come and we got.
Yeah. You know, by the way, I don't want to sound like I'd give up on a quarry.
No.
I searched the night before and I searched that morning. Still nothing. No blood, no hair.
Yeah. I just mean, and you're very disheartened.
I've got a bummer. Record of missing. So I'm like, no blood, no hair.
Right.
No deer.
Right.
So yeah, I was super.
So I was like, all right, man. Like, let's put a little bit of time in, and then we can get to work.
Of which
and
start I agree. Doing
things. Yep.
I didn't like fight that.
No, I was in
to find it. But the point is, I was 100% certain there was no deer.
I'm just trying to take credit for what happens next. That's all.
Yeah. So we decide to like make coordinates, and it's super tall goldenrod, so you'd have to stumble across it. And so we go in about 100 yards, go across it a little bit. Yeah, got the permission, but go in 100 yards, go over a little bit, come in a little bit, you know, back to the field, go in a little bit, go back 100 yards, go in a little bit, and I found him deader than a doornail. Right where I aimed, no blood, no hair.
Yeah, no exit wound, no, just
like a dang pencil went into his side. And poked him, and there was no blood, no hair.
In his bed,
there was nothing,
over, whatever. It was like he just went to sleep. He had a bloody nose.
Yeah.
It was like you punched him in the nose, and he was sad
and
laid down and didn't wake up.
Yeah, and he didn't. So that was the other cool part is it's not like he bedded down and died. Like he ended up dying quickly, which I'm happy about. It's a weird feeling taking an animal's life other than a duck, like duck and a grouse,
a ton.
Yeah,
they're a little bit smaller. It's a bird, eat chickens, and you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I just have a different feeling towards it, but I haven't killed enough deer to have maybe be calloused about it. But it was a great feeling recovering him, especially after the self-loathing of being a poor shot, to know that no, I have practiced. I was calm. I didn't remember to effing rack a shell in, which
that is weird.
Normally, I keep the gun loaded
while hunting.
Yeah, in other areas too. But it's like it's just there. It's in it. Like
right. You were expecting a boom,
a boom, dude.
You know what I think though is because you get super excited. You were getting jacked up
watching me shoot a doe, dude. Yeah, I was getting fired up, man. I like it,
which I appreciate. But I wonder if having that moment of like click gave you pause to be like, okay, hang on, I gotta rack one in, take a deep breath, you know, maybe, or gave you even more adrenaline to be like,
I think it really did give me more adrenaline. I was more. Hold on, everyone. Cheers to you. No, I mean, I still was calm. I felt good. I mean, I've had a good bit of sits this year where I've seen deer and knew that I wasn't going to shoot a doe until the rut was over. And so just kind of taking a deep breath and enjoying the moment helped me take my adrenaline down. I think that's part that I would impart on someone else is instead of allowing the adrenaline to spike of this is my shot.
It's like, oh my God, he's there. Look at that. That's so cool.
Yeah. Just enjoy the moment. Enjoy, like take a deep breath, enjoy it. Think about it, relax, watch him. If he's not like, I don't want to shoot a deer on the run. I don't want to hope that I hit them. I want to make sure that I have a good clean kill. And so I'm really conscious of what I'm doing for the animal and for my own psyche, because I mean, I killed him and I still felt self-loathing. So like, I don't want to wound one and then have even more self-loathing. So it's like, it's partially for me, but I got the chance to enjoy watching him and
he's cool.
Yeah. Old Nubby, man.
So he, yeah, the puppies are,
I can't tell who that is.
It's the puppies.
I hear dogs barking and I want to go fix it. I think it's
the puppies.
Mm-mm.
No?
No, whatever. Anyways, let's.
But he's cool looking.
Yeah.
He's so nubby because he's got
some
strange antlers. Like they're just weird. They're awesome. Some people would hate on this. Some people would be like, well, but he doesn't have that many points and this and that. All right. Well,
yeah, but they can suck it.
He's funky looking and there's no other deer
that looks like Old Nubs.
Yeah.
So basically, the assessment is he got injured in maybe a car accident or something like that, where when they have that kind of physical damage done to them, their antlers don't grow normal. And so one side, it was not broken off. It was just looked like a goofy thumb, like a weird, like an gnarly 8-inch
weird
thumb, brown
nub. It's just funny looking.
Yeah. And then the other side
kicks out to the side weird. I mean, he's great.
Yeah. And then the other side was 3 points, but it came up, down, straight across, and
it
then
like a Tetris piece.
It did. It was funny looking. So I'm going to have it Euro mounted for the barn just so I can remember Old Nubby. And how I kind of am excited to see what he looks like every time I look at him. Like, he's a neat animal. I'm thankful for all the meat that we got. I got to gift some to my grandfather. I got to gift some to Kevin. We've already eaten some. I did a video making a neck roast off of Old Nubby. So stay tuned for that on how I do a neck roast. Again, I'm not a chef nor much of a deer killer, but.
But stay tuned.
Instagram reels at Lone Duck. No big deal. Proud moment. Pumped for it. I enjoy deer hunting. It's different than everything else that I've ever done. And so learning it, being better at it. Now trusting my shots. Following up.
At least trusting more. I mean, you did it.
I just blows my mind. I had no blood, no hair. So it's hard to not distrust yourself when you got no blood, no hair.
You know what I will say, though, is we jumped on that Patreon happy hour, and we do have a few people who know their way around some deer hunting, like Ben.
And they had mentioned,
he's like, yeah, it doesn't mean you didn't connect.
Agreed.
So,
agreed.
Yeah. Which is great.
Good experience. All right. Quick duck hunt story.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't really know how to pronounce her last name, so I'm going to butcher it. The Hatowski brothers. I trained their dogs Fudge and Mac back in the day. Yeah, these bros are bash bros. Both Fudge and Mac and Chris and Nate. 100% meathead best buds. Like, love these guys. Their buddy Zach, another great dude. Good, his dog.
Good people.
Yeah. So I trained all three of these meathead dogs for their meathead owners years ago.
Yeah.
Like, turns out these sons of guns are like 4 or 5.
Really?
I know, it flies, doesn't it? So for that amount of time, they've said, you got to come out, and they live about 3 hours away. So it's not an easy ride to just go and do
go hang out. Yeah.
But Nate got a lone duck pup from me and it's back in training.
Really? Which one?
Moose.
Oh, I didn't know that. Cool. Yeah.
So he came out, washed her work, and is like, we got to get you on a hunt. Like, screw it. Okay. Pick a day, dude. He's a trooper. So he works like 3 on, 4 off, 4 on, 3 off, weird schedule. And so I'm better at the midweekers. Like, my weekends get booked up with family and everything. So, like, if I can squirrel away a Tuesday and make sure the dogs are good, like, I can do that, right? And I'll just work on a Saturday or Sunday. Like, it's just easier for me.
Sure.
So, I'm like, just pick a midweek day and let's go. So, now, I did get old Nubby too, and them and their grandfather own a deer processing shop too. So it was mostly for the deer hunt or the duck hunt, but I also got to take old Nubby, and we got to do a little work on, his hind end and make a bunch of ground venison, and
you did sausage too, right?
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
Yep. So
Very
we got to
cool.
do that, but
Whose
dude,
dog did you hunt?
we hunted Memphis, we hunted Zach's dog, and we hunted their cousin's dog. So three dogs in a swamp, not ideal, but who cares?
Yeah, whatever. You should have a great time.
All these dogs are older and well-versed and know that we don't ever kill stuff, so it works out.
So they took a nap.
Yep. And it's a new property that they got, Beaver Swamp. Nate had scouted it, and there were some mallards and geese on it. So whatever, we're going to see what happens. Turns out it was basically a roost. So
Oh.
we get in, get set up, life is good, and we're just hearing birds feeding and quacking and geese and whatnot. And this was also the, is it a, oh, a lunar eclipse. I was thinking a solstice, but a lunar eclipse, whatever that was, a week ago. 2 weeks ago, which means the sun and the moon go across each other and it makes it super effing bright before it's supposed to be bright. So all these ducks
So like before sunrise, then you're
before
saying, oh
sunrise,
my
before
God.
shooting light, everything is like, oh, I'm awake. I'm
Great.
going to fly to where I belong. And so they get up, and but it was cool. I mean, I bet we watched 200 or 300 ducks, mallards, teal, wood ducks, get up and leave and fly all around us for 10 or 15 minutes where we can't shoot, but you're just watching this spectacle
That is cool.
amongst a, what's the word?
Godforsaken sunrise.
Yeah. Godforsaken meaning negative, but also other people be like, this is a gift from God. Look
Yeah,
at this.
there
This
you
is
go.
beauty, beautiful. No, we're
It
like,
is, but
you
you're also
son of
like,
a,
come
yeah,
on
dude.
now.
It was as bright as the freaking morning, and they were just getting out of there early. So literally come shooting light, and I'm a guest.
Yeah.
A hen mallard flutters in front of me and Nate.
Why not?
I didn't shoot. I thought he was going to shoot. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'm good with not killing a duck. Let the man shoot his duck. He scouted. It's
Sure.
his
Yeah. Over his
pond.
dog and what?
Well, it was my dog. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, let him shoot the duck.
So did nobody shoot?
No one shot. And he's like, it gets up and leaves. And I'm thinking he's going to shoot.
Yeah, they don't talk to each other.
Dude, long
Communication.
story short, that would have been the only duck we could have shot at. Whether we would have killed it or not, I don't know. But
What
I'm just
is
saying that would have been
at?
the only crack at a duck we would have
Oh
gotten was
man.
a hen mallard. And I had her dead nuts fluttering in front of me, and then dead nuts sitting on the water, and then dead nuts flying away. And I'm like, huh. He's got pretty good poise to not shoot that sucker on the water. Because I was aiming. He was aiming at her. I was gonna let that bismuth eat, son. And he goes, yeah, I couldn't see it at all through the reeds. I'm like,
Right.
damn, bud. Like, all right, well, whatever. Plenty of more. And they just never really worked, but it really was a beautiful morning. Freaking sweet to watch all those
That
birds.
is
And
cool.
where we live, it's just not, you just don't see that many. So like some people are spoiled with 200 is small. 200 is like phenomenal for us to watch in a beaver swamp.
You won't see 200 ducks all in one place
Again, for a while.
for a year or two. I mean that's not a
Yeah, unless I go somewhere crazy, but not around here.
right.
So then all the geese started getting up, at 8 a.m. or something. And we took a crack and knocked one down. And this is one parting piece of advice. Old Memph, two-time Master National Memphis. Didn't see it. Okay. Like, there's a bunch of geese flying around, and we knock one down. Lands behind her and to, like, behind us and to my left. And she's in a Momar stand with, you know, can't see around. Can't, right. It's not like a open dog stand. It's with the blind on it. Doesn't see it fall. So I point her at it back. She jumps in the water, swims halfway there. Meanwhile, there's more geese flying around. So we're honking and
hunting.
Whatever. Yeah, keep hunting. I'm assuming, I mean, it's like 40 yards away. Meanwhile, this dog can do 400 yard blinds. So go in that direction, you're going to wind it. So we're honking, and I turn around and look, and she's swimming back at me like, oh, we're going to get some more, bud. I'm like, you son of a kennel. So that group of geese didn't end up coming close enough for us to shoot. So I get her back out, say back, and I'm like, I'm just going to walk with her. So I start, and again, this is like the savvy, patient Bob compared to 10 years ago with Buck, where I'd have been pissed, frustrated, disappointed in my dog for not coming back with a bird that's 50, 60 yards away.
Right.
So I kick her back loose. She takes a beeline again, right towards the goose, but I'm like walking behind her. I think I said back to her like once or twice as she like hit a muskrat. You know how like there's muskrat huddy things, and she'll like clamber onto one and look at you back, jumps back in and keeps swimming through these weaving cattaily muskratty nasties, and like climbing on one, climbing off, look at me, climbing off, climbing on, climbing off, look at me, climbing on, climbing off. And every time I said back, she just kept going. And I bet I walked 10, 15 feet, but just kind of walked with her a little bit towards it.
Sure.
Boom, found the goose. Like, I didn't cast her. I didn't blow my whistle. I just back. And she just was like, oh, okay. And boom, got the goose and brought it back. And it was fine. Back in the day, I'd have been frustrated, disappointed, upset that my training didn't click, whatever. Now it's like hunting and training are so different. And she is a training dog. She's picked up, now, mind you, it still blows my mind because she's picked up hundreds of birds.
That's still surprising, but it's still maybe just a lesson of like.
It's just a lesson to everyone who's listening that she's a dog, makes mistakes. We're blowing goose calls. She thinks more fun's about to happen. So she pops back in to come hang out with us and see what is going on instead of finishing the task. It happens. Back in the day, I can promise you I'd have been impatient and frustrated and disappointed in my dog. Now, I don't care. I just help her out, get her to be successful, and we celebrated the goose. And if I had lost my patience, I bet I would have taken a little bit away from everyone else's hunt.
So, 100%. But you also would have taken away from the celebration of that goose of like, woo, you know?
Yeah. Then we had a couple more cracks at some geese, dude, where like all of our calling, I mean, they were sky high. And, you know, dropping air out of their wings, like flipping upside down and just descending quickly. And so just doing those kind of acrobatics is fun to watch. And they ended up like probably spotting us or whatever, but we worked several groups.
We're getting action.
We had a couple groups that we probably should have shot at, but thought they were going to do one more pass. We had a couple groups that, you know, we're too far. And so it's good that we didn't shoot, but like just we worked birds and worked as a team, calling and growling at them and clucking at them. And then like, as they're going away, we're hammering on them and they turn and come, and then you growl and just working them. So it was really a fun hunt. And then another classic, like you're kind of hunkered down, looking underneath the brim of your hat, eyeballing them, and you can just see like they're within range. And as soon as you stand up to pull the trigger, you're like,
F. Actually, they're
not in range. And then you just take it to the plug like, anyways.
All right, well, like, I already stood up.
Yep. Take it to the plug. You got to teach them a lesson for getting that close at least. But we had a blast. They're great dudes.
They are good guys.
Really That's enjoyed cool. it. I'm excited for their lone duck pup to go hunting with them. And I appreciate them helping with the old nubby. D and S processing just outside Saratoga, like Schuylerville, Mechanicville area in New York. If anyone needs a deer processed in that area, great guys. Their grandfather is a Marine.
Very cool.
Yep. So nice family, good dudes, and love them. So it was fun. Great hunt. Anyways, that's the story of old Nub. Kev's doski do, doski don'ts, hanging in the old barn skis.
Oh, yeah.
And a lone
goose. If anyone has a good sausage recipe.
Yeah, Kev nice loves sausage.
For me.
It's got to be a girthy one, though.
Let me know. Let me know. Yeah,
girthy sausage is Kevin's alley. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. If you want to jump on patreon.com/loneduckoutfitters to get the Force Fetch discounts for the Force Fetch series, please do so. If you want to jump on to just support the show, we appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.
Hey, join our community. If you enjoy the show, if you enjoy our YouTube, if you enjoy Instagram, it's like buying me and Kevin a beer. Join patreon.com/loneduckoutfitters. The link is in the description. Click that link. Join the community. We've got tons of great videos, tons of great content, and you can ask me more questions. So join it. Enjoy it. We did it for you, and you're helping us produce this show. So thank you so much to that community. Get in, get out. Let's roll. patreon.com/loneduckoutfitters.
Hey, listeners, Nick Larson here, host of the Birdshot Podcast. As fans of this show, you may be interested in the conversations on the Birdshot Podcast, where we discuss all things upland hunting, from upland birds and their habitat and conservation to the shotguns, bird dogs, and gear used to pursue them. Whether you're a seasoned upland hunter or just getting started and wanting to learn more, I interview a wide range of guests, each with their own unique perspective and valuable experience to share. If you're on the hunt for more upland hunting conversation, please consider subscribing to the Birdshot Podcast today. We'll